Open our Bibles to John 3:16, and let's read that together. Reading of God's Word, and the hearing of God's Word, and the doing of God's Word will change us. And let's read that together, John 3:16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, damn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I read this on Sunday. I want to read it again. This is Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. What gives light? The entrance of his word. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Holman Christian Standard says, the revelation of your words brings light. What brings light? The revelation of God's word brings light. We all know this. All of us have had a what we would call an aha moment. That aha, wow, I see something. What did you see? You had a knowing, you saw something in the scripture, light came, revelation came, understanding came through the revelation, the entrance of his word. The Young's literal translation says, the opening of thy words. I like the Amplified, it says, the entrance and unfolding of God's word brings light. Amen. So as we meditate in God's Word, the Holy Spirit will unfold and reveal God's Word, which will bring light, revelation, and light. Amen. And life. Hallelujah. I wanted to just touch back again on these scriptures again. Let's turn over to John 15. I'd like to just read them, and then we'll continue with tonight's lesson. But I wanted to read this scripture because of its significance. John 15, starting in verse 1. You know, the theme of this year's men's conference is going after the heart of God. Well, going after the heart of God, to me, is centered right around here, staying connected to the vine, abiding in him, and him in you. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, boy, I tell you, just in that two sentences, or one sentence, it's fruit, 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 bearing fruit, not bearing fruit. He wants to purge us so that we do what? Bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So we can't bring forth any fruit. We can't be productive for God without remaining and abiding in the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Who's the vine? Jesus. He said so right here. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth not just fruit, much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them up, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now I'm going to read from the Phillips translation, and also the Wiest. This is the Phillips. I am the real vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He removes any of my branches which are not bearing fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit to increase its yield. Now you have already been pruned by my words. You must go on growing in me, and I will grow in you. You know, I learned something. Let me just stop here. I learned some things growing up as a youngster. You know, I see Pearson. You know, he's around his dad. He learned things about music. As a youngster, I was around my father. He was a horticulturist. He went to a Cornell University and went through their horticultural program. And so his degree was in that area. And so you learned a lot about pruning and pruning trees. And sometimes what you found out was that in pruning trees, pruning them back, you almost prune the back, you'd go, oh no, you're killing the tree. But in pruning it back, what you found is that as you pruned it back, it bore more branches, more fruit. Why? Because more light got in. Because as you pruned away the branches, more light shone in the tree. Because the branches would filter the light out. Do you understand what I mean? So all the branches underneath, they didn't get the light. So you didn't have fruit. You didn't have things popping out and growing and so forth. So periodically, you got to trim the thing back. Anybody ever see apple trees? What do they do to them? Man, they prune them. So why? So they can bring forth more fruit, you see. So, and the same thing here. God is saying, if we're bringing forth fruit, but we may need to be pruned in some areas, so why? So we can, so that more light can shine in, so that we can bring forth more fruit. That's just a natural thing that I saw for years and years and years. And this is continuing in the Phillips. For just as the branch cannot bear any fruit unless, I like this, unless it shares the life of the vine. So the branch can't bear fruit unless it shares the life of the vine. So you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me. So growing here means you got to stay connected to the vine. The growing requires staying connected to the vine. And when you do, it says here that you can produce things. I am the vine itself. You are the branches. It is the man who shares my life and whose life I share who proves fruitful. So when we start talking about, you know, I'm not going to get sidetracked here, but when I think about the theme going after the heart of God, when men or women or children, whoever they are, when they're not fruitful, that means somewhere they're not growing in Him, which means the connection has gotten disrupted some kind of way. They're not sharing in the life, the vine. Does that make sense? That applies to any of us. If we're not growing, that means we're not sharing in the life of Christ. We're not sharing. And it says here, and he shares his life. And it continues, it says, for the plain fact is that apart from me, you can do nothing at all. Now this, I like this. This is where I kind of got, kind of prompted me to use that message title on Sunday, A Living Communion. Because it has to be a not just a communion, it's got to be a living communion. The Wiest translation says, in John 15, verse 4, maintain a living communion with me. Boy, I like that. Maintain a living communion with me, and I with you. Just as the branch is unable to be bearing fruit from itself as a source. The branch is not the source. It says here, to be bearing fruit from itself as a source, unless it remains in a living union with the vine. So neither you, unless you maintain a living communion with me. Wow. I have to maintain a living communion with him. And that's why we were sharing on Sunday that any relationship, and we're talking about whether it's a personal friendship relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, there can be no fruit, no productiveness, unless there's a living, intimate communion one with another. Would that not be true? So, that, and again, I'll jump down here. I'll read this, 1 John 1 and 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that word you could look up in other translations is communion. It can mean intimacy. It could also mean intercourse. But the word, I believe the Greek word there is koinonia. So that word fellowship is koinonia. With him, and we walk in darkness and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I wanted to read this scripture. I didn't read this Sunday. But let's turn over for a moment to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians 13. And let's look at verse 14. I'm just looking here to see if, well, we'll just read this here. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And that word communion is koinonia. And that again means, can mean fellowship, association. It can mean, in his case, communion. It can mean joint participation. There's a number of words that can be used, fellowship, intimacy, and so forth. Listen to the Message translation of that verse. It says, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Isn't that a nice way of putting that? I love that. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He's our friend. He's our guide. But there has to be an intimate friendship with him. And all of this, again, We're tying this all in with being led by the Holy Spirit. There has to be an intimate friendship, an intimacy with Him in order to be led properly by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that true? I shared that on Sunday, that when there's a communion, an intimacy one with another, when a person's hearts are tied together, you may not know exactly how that person may feel about something, but if you haven't, well, they may have not articulated it. They may not have said, I don't like that, or I like that. But if you have an intimate relationship with someone, you know they would like that. Or they may say, they wouldn't like that. What, isn't that true? Because you just have an intimate relationship, you would say, you know what? They wouldn't like that. You just know in your heart because you know them. And the same thing is true. You'd say, they would like that. I just know them. They would like that. See? And the same thing where the Holy Spirit is concerned. When we have an intimate relationship with Him, we'll know when He's not happy. We'll know when His heart is sad. We'll know that. And we'll not get into some of the things, or we'll follow the things that we should. See, we'll just know. This is right. My heart'll know. See, it may seem like I'm going back over some things here, but it's interesting that in life, folks will call and say, you know, I'm going through this and this and this and this, and you know, just, what do you think? I don't. What do you think? When you think about it, what does your heart say? Most people will say, you know, I wasn't comfortable with that, but I'm just talking with you. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. We can talk, but at the end of the day, it's not my choice, it's your choice, and you need to begin to learn, you know, What's going on down here? Not a voice, but what is that inward witness saying? You know, so often people are saying, well, the Holy Ghost said, and He told me this. Jesus said to Brother Hagin, now I'm going to go by that. The master, the head of the church said, the primary way I lead my children is by the inward witness. He did not say, he doesn't use spectacular things. He didn't say he doesn't lead us by open visions. He didn't say he may not lead us by a still small voice. He didn't say that. But Jesus said to him, the primary way that he leads his sheep is the inward witness. So that means that from day to day, to day to day, to day to day, to day to day to day, we need to learn this in here. We need to learn what I think about this. This is what Brother Hagin used to say. Red light, green light. When I think about this, what do I sense down here? When I think about this, what do I sense here? I'm becoming more not what I see or feel, but more what am I sensing here? Now, I will say this. You may say, but he's not saying anything, because we hear that. He's not saying anything. Okay. Then if he's not saying anything, then you can look at some natural things. Nothing wrong with looking at natural things. What are the natural indicators telling you? Because sometimes we do need to look at those. I'm not saying you're led by them, but if he's not saying anything, then you can look at some natural indicators. What are they saying? the developing of our spirit is like the developing of muscles. How many developed their muscles overnight? No, none of us did. How many of us got in shape overnight? None of us did. So it takes effort, it takes some work, and you're going to make some mistakes. But for me, this is, for me, probably one of the most important things in my life, especially where I am now. Because the choices that we have to make, yeah, we look at things, we look at natural things, we have conversations on the phones, but at the end of the day, you need to make a choice based on how is God leading you? Does it feel right? And that may sound, what is that inward intuition? I know just recently we haven't made a particular choice here, but it was presented, you know, we need to put something in place. And it was going to be this or this. And so we needed to reach out to somebody. And as soon as these choices came, I said, we're going that way. Before we got a response, I said, we're going that way. And Pastor Greg reached out, sent a text to this person, and they said, well, you know, I'll get back to you, but up, but up, but up, but up. And I'm looking and dot, dot, dot. And I said, you watch, we're going this way. Just knowing. But it was a knowing. And I think the more we look to God for direction and we begin to look on the inside, you're gonna begin to develop that. You understand what I mean by that? You're going to develop that part of you. So let's turn over. I'll pick up here. Let's turn over to Acts 10. And let's look at, I think that scripture is wrong, but I'm going to look over here a second. Yeah, it's Acts 27, I'm sorry. I said Acts 10. It's Acts 27. Acts 27. And let's look at verse 9 and 10. It says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. What did he say? I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage. Did Paul say, the Lord told me? Did he say that? See, now some people will say things like that, but nowhere does it say that the Lord told him. He said, I perceive. That's all he said. Let me ask a question. Did he perceive this mentally? Did he perceive it physically? Where did he perceive that? In his spirit. So he perceived this in his spirit. And we're not talking about, this is what we were talking about before. He didn't say he heard a voice. Said he perceived. There was a knowing, a perception, an intuition. That particular word means to perceive. It can mean perceive with the eyes, to discern, to behold. It just means an inner knowing. He perceives something, that there's going to be danger here. And so this inner knowing, this inner perception will never contradict the Word of God. That's one thing we, You know, when folks say, well, I have this perception that I should marry this person. Really? Well, my question would be, okay, are they a believer or not a believer? And I say, well, they don't know them yet. Well, the perception, if it's from the Holy Ghost, will never contradict the Word of God. So you don't need to pray to ask God for direction. You got the Word of God. So there's some things we don't need to ask for direction. It's in the Word of God. But there are some things where He will lead us and guide us in that you may not have chapter and verse, but the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. So let's go back over again. Let's go back over to Romans. I want to read those scriptures again. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read verse 5 first, and then we can jump down to verses 14. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." This is a Good News translation. "Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace." And I'll jump down to verse 10. It says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." So it's going to be, we're mortifying the deeds of the body through the power of the Spirit of God. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." I like this. This is the voice translation. "The Spirit of God is leading you. If the Spirit of God is leading you, then take comfort in knowing you are His children." I like the New Century Version. It says, "The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them." We have to let Him lead us in our everyday affairs in life. So what we're talking about tonight is listening to your heart and listening to those perceptions, those inward intuitions. I use that term connect dots, but begin, maybe that's not the right term, but begin to draw on your past experiences of being led by the Spirit of God. So that when you get to a situation where you're like, well, I'm not sure, draw on those experiences. Draw on those times that you knew that it was Him leading. See? Because the circumstances, the outside circumstances may be different, but he's never different. He's always the same. He'll always lead you where? On the inside, you'll know that this is the right way to go. And you don't have to make a choice. You don't have to respond right away. That's sometimes folks feel like, you know, they're being pressured by people, by situations, by doctors, by lawyers. All of these outside things press you to make a choice. And I personally believe that if you have to make a choice, you know, there's a natural reason. You must make a choice. God will let you know. His Spirit will let you know this is the right way. Because you will have what? Peace. If you don't have peace about something, all of wisdom's paths, this is Proverbs 5, all of her paths are peace. I got a phone call today. They were talking, well, you know, we have a bomb and we moved and we're visiting this church and something just didn't feel right. I said, well, what did that mean? So maybe you just visit some other churches. You are a spirit being. You know when you walk in, you go, yeah, this is it. This is the place. Follow your spirit. If you're not comfortable about something, where? In here. Then listen to that. Put the flag goes up. What is that? When you're on a job and somebody says something and it doesn't seem right, they want you to do something. Say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Why? I'm not led to do that. Or participate in things. You know, I would have stayed out of trouble if I had listened, if I had known to listen some things. I'd have not gotten into some of the circumstances that I did. Personally. Some things just, you know, we all can reflect. So you say, run the videotape and go back and say, boy, if I had just... Because how many in life have walked through some things that were unpleasant? How many have done that? We've all been there, right? We've all walked through some things that are unpleasant. Now think back, even when you didn't know God, even when you didn't know the Word, let me ask this question. Were you still a spirit? Yes, you were. You were still a spirit being. And I can tell you, I'm thinking of two major things right now, me personally. I wasn't born again, but I remember there was this unsettling about doing it. I did it anyways. How many have experienced that? Anybody experienced that? You didn't know God, and there was an unsettling, and you may have done it anyways, right? And it didn't turn out too good. Right. But that's the wonderful thing about the wonderful love of God, that even in those situations, he was trying to warn us. Or your heart was saying, God, don't do it. But why did we do it? Because we didn't know not to. We were more... mental conscious about things and more sight conscious. It felt good. It looked good. It tasted good, right? So we would do it. So we were more conscious of exterior things, and we had not developed our spirit to the place that we said, whoa, no way. As Pearson said, no way, Daddy. Right? But see, what happens is our spirit has been suppressed and the physical and the mental has taken, as you would say, like they say, taken ascendancy or taken the throne over our spirit. So we never developed it. We didn't even know we were a spirit. All we knew was something didn't feel right. Right. But thank God we're learning. We know better now. And now we're in school, as Pastor Judy said. We're in school. We're in training. And so we may bump and skin our knees, but praise God, we know better. Get up, dust off, and say, okay, where did I miss it? Go back and see, okay, when I had to make a choice, where did I miss that? And just fix it. When you have to make a choice next time, look on the inside. Because the choices that we're going to be making are more and more critical. And here's the thing. If we don't learn these things, how many have heard stories? I think we've heard it. Pastor Clinton shared them many times. Where even Lester Sumrall shared it when he was alive. He's out on the mission field. And he said he just got this prompting. Don't go around this side of the mountain. He's over in some foreign country. They would go this way. Don't go around that side of the mountain. Okay, not going. Well, around that side of the mountain, they were waiting to ambush him and kill him. See, so some of those things, this is school, this is training. And as we become more useful to God, as we start becoming more valuable to God and a threat to the devil's kingdom, you better know and hear him clearly. Because it could mean the difference between you living and not living. You destroyed or not destroyed. Or as we read in the paper, ministries that are destroyed because the leader made a bad choice. Right? And so to me, listening to your heart is directly connected. Listening to your heart is directly connected with maintaining a living communion with the Holy Spirit. When we do, when that's alive and active, we won't make a bad choice. We won't make bad choices because we'll know that's not right. He wouldn't like that. God wouldn't like that. We're not doing that. Because as we've shared in past messages, when there's a living communion, your heart remains tender towards him. And you just know this is the right way to go. This is the right choice. Isn't that true? So we're maintaining an active relationship, an active communion with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask this question. How many have been working at just a little bit, have been working at looking more on the inside when you're making choices, when you have to make these choices, this or this? How many have been looking down on the inside and looking, okay, how does it feel? When I think about this, how do I feel about this? And when I think about this, how do I feel about that? How many have had a witness? This feels right to go this way. Let me ask this question. Has it turned out good? See, so that's the key. Begin to build on that experience so that when you are confronted with more difficult choices, see, it may be just as simple as, okay, do I go to the grocery store today or tomorrow? It may mean, do I, you know, do this or that? Very simple. But when you have someone looking at you in your eye and saying, well, I'm sorry, we just found this, and if you don't do this, you will die. Now that's when the rubber meets the road, and folks now are now picking up the phone, calling out of fear. What do I do? Could you pray for me? Yes, we can. We can stand in agreement, but what is the Holy Spirit telling you? What is he leading you? What are you sensing on the inside about the choice that you have to make? Because we've read in situations where maybe the choice to have this operation is the right choice. But maybe it's not. See, I can tell you, for me, and I can only use me as an example, when I had to make a choice in 2000 about this stomach disruption here, because of bad choices that I had made, where eating was concerned, that the doctors would say one thing and the nutritionist said something else. And I knew down here, it was like a check. This doctor said, you know, you got to do bop, 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 bop. And I had a check and I never went back. I never called them, never went back. I just said, as they say, hasta la vista. Because I knew it was wrong. And I pursued what felt right. And the results were there. Those are the kind of things that one is going to have to. I'm not saying you don't listen to doctors. I'm not saying that. But you have got to know down here whether this is right or not. You will have a peace about it. If you don't have a peace, don't follow it. Don't do it. And these are the kind of things that, you know, we keep, as they say, keep circling around because it sometimes appears this is the area where people have not developed their heart in to the degree that they should. Why? Because we have to make choices every day. Do this or this, this or this. It's constant. Choice, 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 choice. And so we have to make choices. And what do we say? The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. And he will help us make those choices. But what we find is that when folks don't spend enough time in intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit because we're busy, we don't pray enough in the Holy Spirit, we don't read the Word of God enough, so then what happens is that being directed by the Holy Spirit is not as accurate. Is not as accurate as it should be. And so as we spend more time fellowshipping with him, what does it say? The branch cannot bear fruit of what? Itself. There has to be a remaining in the vine. What does it say? That was what I was read from that this particular scripture. I'll read it again. I like this particular translation. This is the Phillips translation. It says, you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me. So we have to keep on growing. That means growing in this particular area. Yes, we grow in love. Yes, we grow in faith. Faith works by love. But it's the love of God. It's the love of this fellowship that we have, this intimate union, that we're going to grow in him and grow in being directed by the Spirit of God. I hope that hits home again. So let's say this as we close tonight. Let's say this. Because sometimes, I'll just back up here and say this. Even if in the natural this is not so, you need to make a profession of faith. Because some folks say, well, I'm not that. Okay, do you want to be that? Then you need to start saying it. Because the more you say it, the more your heart will direct you to fulfill what you say. And some folks will say, well, that's a lie. I'm not that way. Let's see. Is faith a lie? No, it's not. I'm making a profession of faith. And so for me, I'm making a profession of faith in that I have intimate fellowship and communion with God by His Spirit. I have intimate fellowship with the Spirit of God. And you say, well, you don't now? Yes, but I want a greater intimacy. I want a greater fellowship. So that my heart yearns for time with Him. Just the way you yearn to have fellowship with a loved one. Whether it's your child, your husband, your wife, you yearn for that fellowship with one another. We ought to yearn and hunger for that fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And when we don't have that hunger and yearning, that we ought to question right there. Why don't I? Because then you're saying, well, my job's more important. This is more important. This is more important than my fellowship and hunger with Him. See? And that's something that we need to look at and say, okay, has some other things gotten in the way? But my hunger has got to be fervent. So let's say this, my fellowship with the Holy Ghost is increasing. I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for fellowship with God. I hear him accurately. I hear his voice. And because I hear His voice, I know what to do. See, you know, these things, let me just close with this comment. Any books that you read about Brother Hagin, he would sit and teach this lesson after lesson, go over it again and again and again, almost to the point where people would say, not again. Again? Yes, again. And you can read stories in his books where businessmen who were trying to be successful took his tapes and listened to them and listened to them and listened to them and listened to them and would take. In this one particular case, he was a businessman. He invested $5,500 at the direction of his business friends and said, you need to diversify. You need to put it in this, 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 and this at their direction, and lost it and had $50 left. So instead, what he decided, because what he did originally, he writes in this story, that he was getting a prompting in his spirit to do this, but his friends said, no, you need to do this. And he followed his friends, lost his money, and he said, you know what? He writes in the story that he took Brother Hagin's teachings on how to be led by the Spirit of God and fed on them and fed on them and fed on them and fed on them. And he took that small amount of money he had left and he began to follow the original leading and go back and begin to invest in what the Holy Ghost directed him to in the first place. And he is a multi-millionaire. See, so I'm convinced that we can be successful, super successful in the areas that God has placed us in by just listening and maintaining this communion with Him, feeding on the Word of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, and listening to your heart. Listening and obeying. And you will be a success. In every, that's what Joshua 1:8 says, you will be a success in every area of your life. Amen? That's what I'm shooting for. Doesn't happen overnight. But we just have to be, let me just say this, being led by the Spirit of God requires us to be disciplined. That's what it is. That means you do the same thing every day, and when you do, you'll get there. You'll be a success. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opening and revelation of your word. Thank you, Father, that as we walk away, as we meditate upon these truths, as we listen to your voice, as we listen to the nudgings and promptings and the inward witness, we thank you that we will be a success in every area of our life. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.